A very good morning to everyone.
大家早上好。
I feel privileged to be on duty today to teach from the Word of God.
我今天感到很荣幸，轮到我和大家分享神的话语。
This is a third time we revisit the same passage in Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5 and verse 32.
今天会是第三次，我们再次看马太福音的五章三十二节。
I'd like to begin by reading the two passages we learned last time.
那我想先读一读上一次我们看的这段经文。
The first passage is taken from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 32.
那有两段经文，第一段是马太福音的五章三十二节。
The second passage, which we studied last time, was taken from Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 to 6.
上一次我们学习的第二段经文是马太福音的十九章四到六节。
The first passage is taken from Matthew chapter 5 and verse 32. Jesus says, But I say to you that whoever divorces his wife for any reason except adultery causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a woman who is divorced commits adultery.
可是我告诉你们，凡休妻的，如果不是因她不贞，就是促使他犯奸淫，无论谁娶了被休的妇人，也就是犯奸淫了。
The second passage, which we studied last time, was taken from Matthew chapter 19, verses 4 to 6.
上一次我们学习的第二段经文是马太福音的十九章四到六节。
And Jesus continues to say, The Creator from the beginning made them male and female.For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and will be attached to his wife, and the two will be one flesh. So then, they are no longer two, but one flesh. And therefore, what God has joined together, let not man break apart.
太初造物主造人是一男一女，且说，这就是为什么男人要离开自己的父母去依恋妻子，两人结为一体。这样他们不再是两个人，而是一体了。所以神所结合的人不可拆散。
What God has joined together, let no man break apart.
神所结合的人不可拆散。
Now, today is a sequel to the last talk. You will need background to follow this sermon.
今天的信息是上一次的续集，那你需要一些的背景去明白今天的信息。
May I refer you to our church website where you can download the recording of last message?
我也为大家介绍我们教会的网站，在上面可以找到上几次的信息。
Now, on the surface, it appears Jesus is saying that every marriage is joined by God. And when God has joined two persons together in marriage, man must not break them up by divorce.
那在表面上好像耶稣似乎在说每个婚姻都是神所结合的而神所结合的这个婚姻人不可以去拆散
In other words, it appears that Jesus is saying God does not allow divorce except when your spouse has committed adultery You must not divorce for any other reason
所以表面上看起来好像耶稣是在说神是不允许离婚的除非其中一方犯了奸淫那如果有其他原因呢就不可以离婚
But is this what he's really saying?
但是这是不是他真正的含义呢
We studied last time, 2 weeks ago What Jesus is really saying is not that at all
上两周我们学习其实耶稣真正在说的呢却不是刚才的理解
Jesus is speaking figuratively When he mentioned the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve He's using picture language
耶稣再一次是用象征性的方式去说话当他谈起创世纪亚当和夏娃的时候他是用一个图像式的方式去说话
The marriage between the first man and the first woman, Adam and Eve is a picture of Jesus and the true church
亚当和夏娃的婚姻呢其实是预表耶稣和真教会的一个图画
In God's plan, Jesus is like AdamLike a husband.
在神的计划里面呢，耶稣就好像亚当一样，像个丈夫。
And the true church of God are Eve, the wife.
真教会呢，就如同夏娃一样，是这个妻子。
Together, Jesus and the true church are Yahweh's new creation.
合在一起，耶稣和真教会就是神的新创造。
Everyone whom the Heavenly Father draws will come to Jesus. And everyone who comes to Jesus, he will never turn away, except when a person be unfaithful.
天父所吸引的每一个人呢，他们会来到耶稣跟前。那来到耶稣面前的人呢，耶稣不会打发他们走。那除非这个人是变成不忠心。
This is the important work that God is doing in the world. And let no man destroy what God is building up.
这就是神在这个世界上正在做的重要的工程。所以神建造的工程呢，人不可以去拆毁。
This is what Jesus is really saying.
这就是耶稣真正在说的内容了。
In other words, Jesus is speaking about God's plan and about himself in that plan. Jesus is the focal person in God's plan.
换句话说，耶稣所谈论的是关于神的计划，还有他自己。他是神的计划的中心人物。
In these two texts, Jesus is not talking about marriage and divorce. Therefore, if we misapply Jesus' words,There will be serious consequences.
耶稣在这两段经文里面并不是在说婚姻和离婚这些事情。如果我们错误地应用了耶稣的话，那就会有严重的后果了。
When Jesus says, "What God has joined together, let no man break apart," we must not take this to mean that God forbids man to divorce.
当耶稣说神所结合的人不可拆散。那我们不能够去理解这个成为、神是不允许人去离婚的。
To think that Jesus is saying God forbids divorce is to misunderstand the words of Jesus.
如果我们觉得耶稣是在禁止人离婚，我们就错误地去明白了耶稣的话了。
When Jesus says, whoever divorces his wife for any reason except adultery causes her to commit adultery.This is not to say adultery is the only ground a person may consider divorce.
那耶稣说，凡休妻的，如果不是因他不贞，就是促使他犯奸淫了。这并不是在说奸淫这是唯一的原因，人可以离婚。
To the contrary, if marriage has broken down irretrievably, other reasons can be considered as ground for divorce, not just adultery.
如果婚姻已经破碎到不可挽回的地步，那其他的原因也可以是离婚充分的理由，不单单只是奸淫这个理由。
So I say again, if we misapply the words of Jesus, it will lead to inner conflict and contempt of Scripture and even sin.
如果我们误用了耶稣的话，那会导致心里面的矛盾，藐视圣经，还会落入罪里面。
Five days ago, last week,I saw the BBC website running an article, a story from the USA. Have you seen this picture from BBC website?
大约五天前，我在 BBC 的新闻网站看到关于美国的一个新闻。
This lady called Nancy has blue eyes, but if you look closely, her left eye is different from her right eye.
这位女士南希，她有蓝色的眼睛，但是如果你仔细看她的左眼，就会发现好像不太一样。
The left eye is an artificial eye.
那他的左眼其实是人造的眼呢。
The article on BBC website is titled, My husband hired a hitman to kill me, but I forgive him.
这网站的这个新闻的题目就是我的丈夫请了杀手去杀我，但我还是原谅了他。
Nancy and Frank are married for 29 years. They live in the USA.
南希和弗兰克结婚29年，他们住在美国。
Together, they have three children who today are all grown up and have left home.
他们共有三名的子女都已经成长，然后离开了家。
Frank and Nancy are Christians and they are members of a church choir.
南希和弗兰克都是基督徒，他们也是在教会的唱诗班里面的。
One day in 2012, Nancy is home alone when Frank says he's on a business trip, he's away from home.
在2012年的一天呢，弗兰克说他出差，所以南希是独自在家。
On that day evening, Nancy returns home from a choir practice in church.
有一天晚上，南希练完诗歌班就回到家。
As she comes out from her car in her private garage, a man ambushes her, points a gun at her head.
回到自己的家的车库那边，从车出来的时候，有一个杀手埋伏他，用枪指着他的头。
And then fires a bullet at her head.
就开枪打他的头。
The bullet goes through her left eye and into her body and lodges in her right lung.
那子弹就穿过他的左眼，然后穿过他的身体，然后陷在他右边的肺里面。
So she collapses to the ground and the hitman runs away.
那他就倒在地下，这个杀手就跑走。
But wonderfully, Nancy survives and calls 999.
南希后来就起来打电话给999。
Then the police notifies Frank, the husband, and Frank rushes home from the so-called business trip.
弗兰克接到警察的电话，他就赶快回家，从这个所谓的出差回来。
While recovering in hospital, Nancy receives a phone call from Frank, her husband.
在医院恢复的期间呢，南希就接到她丈夫弗兰克的电话。
Frank is in tears.
弗兰克哭着说
，He confesses to his wife to having an affair with a woman for the past few years.
向他的妻子承认，过去几年他和另外一个女人有婚外情。
And a few days later, the police inform Nancy that the hitman has been paid by her husband to kill her.
几天之后，警察就告诉南希，杀手其实是她丈夫用钱聘请来杀她的。
The police also tells Nancy that Frank has been arrested.And has been charged with murder.
警察也对南希说，弗兰克就被逮捕。
Seemingly a happy couple. What happened? What could have gone through Frank's mind?
发生了什么事情呢？他们看起来是开心的一对夫妻。弗兰克心里面究竟在想什么？想到这些恶毒的事情呢？
Now, seemingly a few years ago, Frank has started to have an affair with another woman, and the relationship has gone too far.He feels there is no way to return.
看起来弗兰克在几年前已经开始有了外遇，关系就已经一发不可收拾，他就觉得再不可以回头了。
But then the Bible says, so he supposes adultery is the only ground for divorce. He has committed adultery. Could he file a divorce petition in the court?
他就想起圣经。奸淫是离婚唯一的原因，他犯了奸淫，他是否能够提出离婚呢？
But then he also remembers his wife Nancy has told him many years ago, I have made a vow to the Lord that I will never divorce you.
但是他同时间又记得南希多年前曾经对他说，说他对神许了誓言，绝对不会和他离婚。
I do not know. The article doesn't tell me the exact reason why Nancy has made such a vow. Maybe it's because of love that Nancy has told Frank that she will never divorce him.
这个新闻并没有说为什么南希许这个誓言，或许是出于爱，所以南希告诉弗兰克绝对不会和你离婚。
It might be possible that Nancy was mindful of the words of Jesus. What God has joined together, let no man break apart.
南希可能是知道刚才我们看的这段经文就是耶稣说的话，神所结合的人不可拆散。
So it is possible that Frank was thinking,Okay, I have committed adultery, but then she would never agree to divorce. The only way out, the only way to have the other woman is to kill her.
那或许弗兰克心里面想，如果都没有办法离婚的话呢？得到另外一个女人，唯一的方法就是把我的妻子杀了。
Frank has been found guilty of murder by the court. He has been sentenced to life in prison.He must serve at least 30 years before parole will be considered.
所以法庭判定弗兰克有谋杀罪，被判终身监禁。他要服刑30年才可以假释。
By that time, Frank will be 85 years old.
到时候弗兰克已经是85岁了。
For this reason, finally, Nancy decides to divorce him.
也因着如此，南希最终就决定和他离婚。
But then Nancy offers Frank her forgiveness via her victim statement at the trial in court.
但是南希在法庭上借着被害人陈述的这个机会呢，就给予了弗兰克原谅。
The Bible says, if we don't forgive those who harmed us, neither will God forgive us. So I've decided to forgive him. So you see, Nancy is a Christian that obeys the words of the Bible.
那南希说，圣经说，若我们不原谅那些伤害我们的人， 神也不会原谅我们。大家看得到吗？拿西是一个基督徒，他顺服圣经的话。
Nancy says, I must forgive Frank. I could not live with bitterness in my heart.
那拿西就说，我必须原谅弗兰克，我不能带着苦毒而活。
Is this why she has made a vow to God that she will never divorce her husband? Could it be that Nancy is following the words of Jesus about divorce?
那南希作为一个基督徒，会不会是在跟随耶稣说关于离婚的这个道理呢？这会不会是他向神许诺不会和弗兰克离婚的这个原因？
If so, Nancy would have misunderstood what Jesus really means to say.
那如果是这样呢？南希就错误的去理解了耶稣所说的话。
This could have led to Frank finally deciding to hire a hitman to kill his own wife.
这样错误的理解也有可能促使弗兰克选择去用杀手的这个出路去得到离婚。
So I say again, if we misunderstand and then misapply the words of Jesus, there will be consequences.
所以让我再说，如果我们错误的理解耶稣的话，然后错误的去应用出来的时候呢，就会有严重的后果了。
So this is the first point I want to make in this third talk.That Jesus is not talking about marriage and divorce in these two texts.
所以这是第一个重点。耶稣在这里并不是在谈论婚姻和离婚的事情。
Now I come to my second point.
让我来到第二点。
Although Jesus is not talking about marriage and divorce, it does not mean the Bible has no guidelines for marriage breakdown or divorce.
虽然耶稣在这里并不是在谈离婚，但这并不意味着圣经就没有关于婚姻破碎啊和离婚的这些的指引。
The Bible contains valuable advice about marriage and divorce. I'd like to share with you in summary form the Bible's guideline.
圣经其实有好多关于婚姻还有离婚的好的建议。接下来我想和大家总结圣经是怎么说的。
Point one, marriage is sacred, so do not enter into marriage casually.Hastily.
第一点，婚姻是大事，所以人应该去尊重它，不要随意匆忙的进入婚姻。
Marriage is not a game. Marriage carries with it responsibilities.
婚姻并不是一个游戏，婚姻带来的是责任。
So do not enter marriage hastily or casually.
所以不要匆忙的去进入婚姻。
And do not take a casual attitude towards divorce.
不要轻易的离婚。
Marriage is sacred.
婚姻是大事，人应该尊重。
Point two.
第二点。
Our God is compassionate. God understands man has many weaknesses.
神亚伟是体恤人的软弱的。
To protect man from life-threatening harm, divorce is allowed.
为了保护人的生命不受威胁，离婚是允许的。
Adultery does not have to be the only ground for divorce. There could be other grounds.
奸淫不是唯一一个可以离婚的理由，那还有其他的理由可以离婚的。
As the heavenly father of mankind, God only seeks man's well-being.
作为人类天上的父亲，神是寻求人的幸福的。
If a marriage has broken down irretrievably, and if keeping the marriage alive brings more harm than divorce would bring,Then all options are open, including divorce.
如果婚姻已经去到了破碎不可挽回的地步，那如果婚姻继续下去，会比起离婚带来更多的伤害的话，不同的选择都有可能，包括离婚。
We saw from Matthew 19 and from the Old Testament that divorce is allowed.
那上一次我们从马太福音19章还有旧约那里看到离婚是允许的。
Third point.
那第三点。
Although marriage is sacred, it is not forever.
纵然婚姻是一件大事，但是它并不是永远的事情。
Ordinary marriage between a man and a woman is not, I repeat, joined by God.
一般的婚姻并不是神所配合的。
Some of you are from China. You do not believe in God yet. When you got married, is your marriage joined by God? You join yourself with one another. God didn't join you.
你结婚的时候，这个婚姻是神所结合的吗？是你选择与另外一个人结合，神并没有联合你们。
The marriage between Adam and Eve, that was joined by God, but not all marriages.
人类的第一个婚姻 就是亚当跟夏娃的婚姻是神所结合的，但是并不是之后的所有的婚姻都是神所结合的。
Contrary to what people think, including church clergymen, marriage is not forever.
对比好多人的思想，或者是有一些神职人员的思想，婚姻并不是永久的。
Marriage is not the most important thing in life.
婚姻在人生当中并不是最重要的那一件事情。
Point four.
第四点。
What is most important in life is repentance and having a right relationship with God.
在人生最重要的事情是悔改，还有和神建立正确的关系。
Because only when we repent, obey the gospel, and have a right relationship with God, can we work out problems in our relationship with people.
原因就是唯有当我们悔改、顺服福音和神有正确的关系之后呢，我们才可以在人际关系的问题当中去找到解决。
In my own marriage, I'm a witness to this fact.
在我自己的婚姻里面，我是一个见证人。
If and when myself are willing to repent and change,If I maintain a right relationship with God, and my wife does the same, our marriage can be a blessing, and it is a blessing.
那当我愿意改变，承认我的错误去悔改的时候呢，还有我的妻子也是有同样的态度，愿意去悔改和神有正确的关系的时候呢，我们的婚姻就能够维持在一个好的状态。
So let me summarize for you again the four guidelines concerning marriage and divorce.
再次总结圣经里面关于婚姻还有离婚的四点。
One, marriage is sacred.
一点就是婚姻是大事，人应当尊重。
Two, God is compassionate. In order to protect man from life-threatening harm, divorce is allowed.
第二点就是亚伟能体恤人的软弱，为了保护人生命不受威胁，离婚是允许的。
And third, marriage is not forever.
第三点，婚姻虽是大事。但非永远。
And finally, point four, repentance, having a right relationship with God, that is the most important thing in life.
第四点，悔改和神建立关系才是人生最大的事。
Now, I'd like to mention some grounds for divorce which are acceptable in a court of law. You'll find these guidelines useful and fair.
刚才我们看完圣经给出什么样关于婚姻还有离婚的建议之后呢，让我们来看一看法院接受提出离婚的这些原因，你会发现这些的原因都是很合情合理的。
When a person files a divorce petition, the person must prove to the court that the marriage has broken down irretrievably.
那当一个人向法院提出离婚的时候，他需要证明这段婚姻已经破碎到一个不可挽回的地步了。
You can choose one or more of eight reasons for filing a divorce.
那你可以在八个原因当中去选多过一个作为提出离婚的理由。
Let's go down the list.
那我们来看一看这个列表。
One, your spouse has committed adultery.
第一点就是配偶不贞，有婚外情。
But the problem is, the spouse oftentimes denies he or she has committed adultery, and you have no proof.
但是很多时候，配偶就会否认自己有婚外情。
Second, desertion by your spouse. That is, the spouse simply abandons the family and goes away, whether or not he or she has committed adultery.
第二点就是被配偶遗弃。配偶不论有没有犯了奸淫的事情，他就离弃了自己的家庭，不管他们。
Third, unreasonable behavior.
第三点，就是行为不可理喻。
Four, separation for 2 years with consent.
第四点就是双方情愿分居两年。
Or fifth, separation for 5 years without consent.
又或者是未经同意分居五年。
You notice point three, unreasonable behavior.
那大家留意第三点，行为不可理喻。
This is practical because even without adultery, desertion, marriage life under the same roof can be unbearable.
这一点是很合理的，因为即使对方没有犯奸淫或者是没有不顾家庭，但是在同一个地方生活，两个人的关系可以是非常痛苦的。
So from point 5 to point 8, there are examples of what unreasonable behavior might be.
所以从第五到第八点就有更多关于什么叫做行为不可理喻的这些行为了。
5. Physical abuse or verbal abuse or emotional abuse.
第五点就是身体虐待、口头谩骂、精神虐待。
So although the spouse may not have committed adultery, day in and day out, he or she abuses you. That's unbearable.
纵然配偶没有不贞，但是他可能对你身体虐待啊，精神上面虐待，去骂你啊。
This is one of the acceptable grounds to file a divorce.
第五点是一个合理的一个原因啊，可以向法院申请离婚。
Your spouse doesn't have to hit you black and blue, doesn't have to use words to insult you. If the spouse keeps ignoring you, not talking to you, but with ugly attitude, make you suffer, that is reason enough to file a divorce.
配偶不需要身体上把你打伤，不需要用说话去辱骂你，但是他的态度，他是不理你，或者是一直冷落你，这样子已经在法院上是可以离婚的原因了。
That is called emotional abuse.
那这就是精神上的虐待了。
It's unacceptable. Shouldn't happen in any marriage.
在婚姻里面是不应该发生的。
So you see, in our modern society, a law for divorce is reasonable, practical.
我们看到在现今的社会，关于离婚的法律是非常的合情合理的，是很实际的。
If secular law can be so understanding and practical, do you not think our God and the Lord Jesus are even more understanding?
那既然这世上的法律都是这么实际啊，合情合理，那神的岂不是更加如此吗？
So let's study our Bible carefully and do not misunderstand what Jesus is really saying.
所以让我们小心的去学习圣经，不要错误的去明白耶稣的话。
Number six.Your spouse is devoting too much time to a career. He or she has no time for you, never pays attention to you.
第六点，配偶太多的时间都用在工作上，没有任何时间留给你，从来不关心你，留意你。
Never talks to you anymore. Everything is work, work, work.
都不跟你讲话，那总是在忙在工作上面。
That could be a reason to consider divorce.
这也是能够成为离婚的原因。
Seven.Having no common interests.
第七点，没有共同的爱好。
Well, this is a mild reason to consider divorce, but it is a problem. It threatens the health of your marriage.
那虽然这好像是看起来很轻微的一个原因，但是这确实是可以让你婚姻越来越弱的。
Because if you and your spouse share no common interests, then one day he or she will find another person who shares the common interests.This is how very often an affair starts.
原因就是如果你和你的配偶根本就没有共同的爱好，有一天他碰到有爱好的人，那就会发生问题了。好多时候外遇开始的原因了。
Number eight, pursuing a totally separate social life. He goes to one place, you go to another place, your paths never meet.
第八点，各自有不同的社交生活。两个人往往都是去不同的地方呢，生活上没有交集。
So you see, at least eight reasons for considering divorce. It doesn't mean the law encourages people to adopt a casual attitude towards a marriage. No, the law is simply trying to be practical.
所以我们看到总共有八点是法庭上是可以考虑作为离婚的理由的。那这不是在说法律是在鼓励人对离婚有一个很轻慢的态度，不是这样的，因为法律这里我们看到是非常实际的。
So this is the second point that I'm making today. The Bible has a lot of valuable advice for us to follow.
所以第二点，今天的信息里面我们看到圣经确实有好多关于婚姻破碎啊，还有离婚的指引。
I hasten to the third and the final part of today's study.
让我们来看今天信息的第三点。
Since Jesus is not talking about marriage and divorce, why doesn't he speak plainly?
耶稣并不是在谈婚姻还有离婚，那为什么耶稣不明白的说呢？
I remember vividly, a month ago, after my first talk, one of you came to me and said, why didn't Jesus talk plainly? Why does he keep speaking in a figurative way?
那我记得第一次分享这个信息的时候呢，你们当中有一位对我说，啊，为什么耶稣不直截了当的去说呢？为什么他要用象征性的方式去说话呢？
Well, it is a fact that sometimes words of the Bible are very plain and straightforward, okay? But it is also a fact that some statements of the Bible are hidden, and they are not easy to understand.
确实是这样，好多时候圣经里面的话是直截了当很明白的，但同时间圣经有好多的话语也是隐藏起来的，并不是一目了然的。
I'd like to mention three reasons why Jesus doesn't speak plainly.
我想提出三个原因，为什么耶稣没有很明白的这么说。
The first reason is that God, through Jesus, wants to test our heart attitudes as we listen to him.
第一个原因就是神借着耶稣要测试人的心，当我们去听见他的说话的时候。
Will you be offended because the Bible doesn't speak plainly?Would you hold the Bible or even God in contempt?
听到的时候会不会觉得被冒犯呢？因为圣经不是很明明白白、直截了当的说话，那你会对他们有意见？
God through Jesus wants to see what kind of attitude, what kind of people you are.
神借着耶稣想来看一看你是怎样的一个人。
Reason number two.
第二点。
In the time of Jesus, 2,000 years ago in Palestine, divorce was very rare. Divorce was not a topic that needed discussion in the society of that time.
在2000多年前，在中东这个地方呢，离婚是非常罕见的。当时的社会里面呢，离婚就不是一个需要被讨论的一个话题了。
The society in the Middle East 2,000 years ago was very different from ours today.
中东那个社会和我们今天的社会是非常的不同。
In Matthew chapter 19, the Pharisees came to Jesus and asked him a question about divorce. The questioner's motive was to trap Jesus, hoping to catch him say something wrong.
在马太福音的19章里记载，法利赛人去问耶稣关于离婚的这个话题，这个人背后的动机是要陷害耶稣，抓他说话的把柄。
The questioners were not really interested to have a discussion about divorce with Jesus. So a direct reply to the Pharisees was not really necessary.
那问这个问题的这些人并不在乎离婚这个话题，所以一个直接的回答是不必要的。
Jesus would rather point out to the Pharisees and to the readers of the Bible the root of man's problem.He rather points out the lasting solution of every problem is repentance and having a right relationship with God.
那耶稣更想指出人的问题根源，需要一个恒久解决问题的答案，就是悔改和神有正确的关系。
Because as long as we are unwilling to change, we will have problems in personal relationships, not only in marriage, between friends, between colleagues also.
原因就是当我们不愿意改变的时候呢，那我们的人际关系里面就会出现问题了，不单单是在婚姻里面，同事当中，在朋友间也是这样。
So this is the second reason why Jesus doesn't speak plainly on that occasion.
那这是第二个原因，为什么耶稣在那个时刻没有很直白的去回答。
Finally, I give a third explanation why Jesus doesn't speak plainly.
最后我想给出第三个原因，为什么耶稣当时候并没有很明明白白的说。
In the Sermon on the Mount, in chapter 7 of Matthew and verses 7 to 8. Chapter 7, verses 7 to 8.
在马太福音的第七章七到八节。
Jesus says, Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. Because everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds,And to him who knocks, it will be opened.
马太福音七章七到八节，你们祈求就给你们，寻找就寻见，叩门就给你们开门。因为凡祈求的就得着，寻找的就寻见，叩门的就给他开门。
Now we see that even towards disciples who are keen to learn, Jesus deliberately speaks figuratively. The reason is to leave room for questions.For thinking and more thinking.
我们看到门徒是很愿意学习的，但是耶稣往往还是用比喻的方式和他们说话。那这个原因就是使到门徒们有空间去思想问问题。
To leave room for seeking, keep on seeking.
那要给他们空间，使到他们可以寻求一直去寻求答案。
For this reason, sometimes the Bible is plain, other times the meaning is hidden.
所以这也是为什么圣经有些时候是很直白的，那有些时候这个背后的含义又是隐藏的。
The Bible is simultaneously revealing and concealing.
所以圣经是同时间是显明的又是隐藏的。
Why?
为什么呢？
Because the Bible is a food source for believers of all ages. For the young Christians, for the mature Christians, the same Bible is a food source for the whole lifetime.
那原因就是圣经、对于信徒来说，不论是年幼的基督徒还是成熟的基督徒，圣经就是他们一生的这个食物。
There must be enough room for questions, thinking and seeking.
那需要有空间给他们去思考，去寻求答案，去追求。
I have studied the Bible for more than 40 years. There are still many places which I don't understand, which I want to understand.
那我学习圣经已经有40年的时间了，还有好多地方不明白，还需要更多的去寻求去明白的。
If the riches of the Bible can be exhausted in 1 year, in 5 years, you'll be bored to death.
那如果圣经里面的内容一年里面就可以完全掌握的话呢，那你的一生就会很无聊了。
The Holy Bible is for a lifetime of study and for practice.
这本圣经是给人一生去学习去还有去应用的。
So these are the 3 reasons I can think of why Jesus doesn't speak plainly.
那这就是三点和大家分享为什么耶稣并没有明明白白的去说。
So I've come to the end of my talk today.
今天我就来到我信息的结尾了。
In closing, I'd like to say that God didn't send Jesus to the world to condemn us, but to help us, to save us.
结束之前我想指出，神差耶稣不是来给人定罪，而是要人得救。
And for this reason, Jesus wouldn't say things to make our life difficult.
那也因着如此呢，耶稣不会乱给一些的规定，使到人的生活是很痛苦的。
Jesus will never say things that make marriage or divorce unreasonable.
那耶稣也不会说一些的道理，使到婚姻是变成非常的不可忍受的。
In the Gospel of John, chapter 3, we read these precious words.
在约翰福音的三章16-17节有这个宝贵的话。
John 3, starting from verse 16 on to 17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
约翰福音的三章16-17节，神爱世人，甚至把他的独生子赐给他们，叫一切信他的不至灭亡，反得永生。因为神差他的儿子到世界上来，不是要定世人的罪，而是要使世人借着他得救。
Let us conclude in a prayer.
让我们用一个祷告结束。
Let's spend a moment of quiet in reverence before God.
让我们有一段安静去敬畏神的时间。